Welcome to the show, Broken Tail Dog, Josh Ricardo. How are you? It's a fucking house of horrors here. I can't lie. It's becoming unbearable. This fucking place I live in. Really nice place, I guess. It's just the noise. I can't take it anymore. And I'm doing a show out of my apartment. It's bullshit. And this train is coming through my house. And by the way, this MTA, so this is the company that oversees these subways and whatnot here in New York City. When I got this apartment, it was fucking empty. Empty. I'm the first one to ever live in it, right? They were actually building the fucking thing while I came to see it, okay? I knew it was close to the train, right? So for you people at home, like, why is this guy bitching? He's bitching every week. I get it. It's part of my thing. Anyways, I sat in here with the people building it, these Mexican dudes. Not being racist, they were Mexican, all of them. And I sat here for about 45 minutes, and I had the windows open, and I had the windows closed. I tried them both, you know, just to see if I could stand the noise, knowing how fucking particular I am. And it honestly wasn't half bad. In fact, when the TV's on or when I'm doing other things, I barely even noticed the train. But here's the beef I have now. So the MTA did this thing where they eliminated the queue line coming here. So now it's just the NW. And they have eliminated, I think, about 18 trains a morning. So that means 18 less trains are coming here, and they're building up Astoria to a point where there's another, like, luxury building like mine across the street. Luxuries. It's laughable. Trust me. But it adds an additional 1,000 people to the stop. Now, not only are the trains more crowded, but also the show I do, I record during the day, which is helpful because there's not as many trains during like the lunch hour around here. But my point being is that as you can hear the last, 2 minutes I've been talking, numerous shit happening behind me because they utilize the W train. They utilize the old trains. So usually it's just the new trains over here. But now because the W comes here, they've been pulling out the fucking relic trains, and they are heavy, heavy, heavy on the track to a point where I can't get away from the fucking noise. I gotta move. Fuck this. I gotta get the fuck out of here. Anyways, part of my irritation, too, is I've been complaining about, look, you hear it? I can't catch a train on time. And when I'm recording the show, there's 70 fucking trains. We are the most inefficient motherfuckers, man. The bottom line rings loudest in America, and we all know that's the truth. And it's getting to a point now where the corporations cut to a point where it's like, how is this possible? How is this possible? All the cuts you make. You don't give a fuck about people. And I'm not complaining about that. I understand you don't already. I get it. But you should give a fuck about the Broken Tail Dog Show. You're fucking it up with your trains. Anyways, my second irritation is the fact that I have this wonderful guest, Logan Laveau. She's a burlesque performer here in New York City. Logan was nice enough to come in to the studio I speak of to do the show. Now, I bought these new mics, and you've been hearing about this for weeks. I know. But it's like a sitcom. You just keep hearing about the storylines until the finale. I bought these new mics. These mics are terrible. For recording together, they caused an echo. So when you hear the episode, it kind of sounds like I'm in auto-tune, but fuck it. It'll be an experiment. I don't foresee future episodes being like this, but we shall see. Anyways, Logan's awesome. We talk about burlesque. She's really, really cool and sexy and fun, and you're going to like her. And Don't let my irritation ruin it for you. She's amazing. So I can try to collect myself. Check out Logan.
Burlesque performer. Logan, you act too, right?
A little bit.
Okay. So I have the very wonderful and amazing Logan Laveau. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
All right. So let's get right to it. I just crossed my legs like I was fucking James Lipton in here. So I am always searching for new people to be on the show. And I'm realizing more and more as the show grows and gets more popular, it's getting harder and harder to cold reach out to people. Mm-hmm. Because the show predominantly focuses on females in the industry, which I think is pretty great. And if you listen to the episodes, we've attacked such issues as, I mean, it's a comedy show, but we still have learned about sexual assault. People have come on and been open about that. We've learned about being discriminated against for being female. We've learned about what it means to be someone that's in a field where it predominantly how you look is how you make your money, mm-hmm. and then what stigmas come with that, and also what perks come with that. So it's a show that attacks a lot of great issues for women, in my personal opinion, and also the opinion of the audience and the guests for that matter. Long story long, the point I'm getting to is it's getting harder and harder to reach out to women in these fields because they automatically think maybe I could be a creep. But it's weird because, one, I'm all right looking and I got a cool job. Like, I don't really need to do a whole show to get laid. And on top of that, I'm married. So it's not like – and then if you look at the episodes, I'm like 115 deep, all from here, the Broken Tail Dog Lair. So what? I don't get it. So you tell me. You said, yes, you were actually pretty responsive, which, you know, 9 times out of 10, usually people are. But there's those twos and fews that are not. Mm-hmm. So I guess to start the show off, I'm really intrigued on your process of, okay, because I'm sure you get a lot of messages.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at Logan's Instagram right now, and she's a burlesque performer, and you're like curvy, correct? Would you classify yourself as curvy?
I'm somewhere along the fence, maybe.
What's the fence? Like, what are both sides of that fence?
Well, you know, I would have used to say that I was a lot curvier, but through no act of trying, I have lost some a little bit.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm actually a little, you know. I kind of miss them.
Now
I miss what I used to have.
What did you used to have? Because I'm looking at pictures now, and it looks like you still got a lot, but I could be yeah. wrong. So what – because I feel like for burlesque, don't you have to be kind of a curvy-ish?
Well, you know, people love the curves because it's entertaining, and, you know, things are moving around
jiggly,
and shaking
yeah, jiggly,
and
yeah.
on stage, and people are like, wow. But, you know, that's the great thing about burlesque is that there's really no typical body type for it. I mean, you know, there are certain people who work more, maybe, that tend to be very stereotypically attractive, which makes sense. But really, if you go to a show around New York, it's really diverse, you know. You are really celebrating every kind of shape of person. And, you know, big boobs, small boobs, fake boobs, real boobs, like big ass, small ass, you know, whatever they have, they're making it work for them,
sure.
which is part of what makes it so great.
Yeah. I've never been to a burlesque show, and I really wanted to go to one of yours before we did the episode because I wanted to talk about how great you were. I mean, I've seen a lot of the videos, well, as many as you have up, and they're all really short, so I wanted like a full experience.
Right.
But you get after it on stage, which I thought, oh, that's really cool. I've never even had someone who does burlesque on the show. I've tried to a couple times, but it just never worked out. So you're my first. I'm a virgin to the burlesque. So you have to be gentle with me.
Oh, boy.
So
fun the first time.
When you do, goddamn, how do I? I don't even know the proper lingo. I'm gonna sound like a total rube about it. But when you're learning burlesque, it's an art form in itself, obviously. But what attracts you to go that way? We'll start there. What are you doing where you're like, I really want to do burlesque? How do you come to that? Is it are you in dance classes previous to it and you're just always kind of a dancer as a little girl as you come up? And then what influences you to kind of go into that?
Yeah, well, you know, I think everyone kind of approaches it from a different place, but I saw my first burlesque show when I was a freshman in college because my college actually put on a burlesque show by students, you know, produced by students with students in it. And I was kind of like, whoa, like my brain exploded. Like, they looked so beautiful. And, you know, they were all girls that I had seen around and knew, and they were just peers of mine. And everyone was just, like, so confident and so amazing and just, you know, producing their own thing, choreographing, making their own costumes, in a performance medium that I hadn't really seen before. You know, I had seen it kind of in movies, and I was always really attracted to the, you know, the beautiful, like, showgirl look, but I didn't really know what it was.
You know what's interesting about burlesque is it has a sexuality to it. So automatically, I'm speaking as a man, automatically you're seeing some TNA, and you're aroused by the fact there's TNA. Mm-hmm. But then as you watch more, it's not a strip club. They're not, the performers aren't there to necessarily get you off. You know what I mean? And they're not there to build this sexual fantasy and necessarily become an object. Mm-hmm. There's a performance there that takes skill and planning and little details. And to me, I know the audience, they, whenever I'm reading new books, I read so much, I'm sure they get annoyed by me, but I reference The Tipping Point, and I reference another book I'm reading like too much. But The Tipping Point talks about little details a lot, and I really embrace that. And I think burlesque has those little details. Like when it comes down to even the titty tassels and the way the outfit looks, it's all perfectly planned down to the music. And I'm not saying exotic dancers don't do similar things, but there is a format involved that goes back, I don't know, what's the history of burlesque?
Well, you know, it is
the school us, Logan.
It is really, it goes back really far because, you know, the female form has always been appreciated for its beauty.
Sure.
That's undisputed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't until maybe like, I don't know, the last couple hundred years that there were really places that you could go to like see theater and stuff celebrating the female form, you know, because it's always been a stigma. People have always been trying to put a stamp on boobs. But, you know, in the 20s, you had the flappers with their short little skirts, and you had vaudeville. And a lot of times vaudeville would be incorporated with, you know, a few like comedy acts, a few kind of interesting juggler kind of things.
Yeah.
And then usually like a burlesque person,
you know,
a burlesque
what?
Act.
Sorry to cut you off. We're going to pick up right there. But I just got to say something, side note. Mm-hmm. The more and more I read about the 20s, the more and more I feel like I should have been born then. In the sense that coke was around, and before people knew it was really bad for you. Heroin was around before people knew how bad it was for you. And then people, because of this new age, like this newfound freedom, women found sexual freedom in the 20s. People were fucking, and not that people aren't fucking now, but I feel like everything is a contrived, unorganic, inorganic situation where everything's a formula and it's a marketing machine. And now if we're showing nipple or we're showing abs or we're showing cock, it's to spark this feeling of this is dirty and this is what I do. I'm a rebel and I'm dirty. Before it was just in the 20s, it feels like it was organic because it's people like, fuck, we are free. Let's figure it out. Let's be expats in fucking Paris. Let's write a book. Let's bang anally.
Especially if you're going to Paris.
What's your take on that? I'm banging anally. Anyways, so you were saying that in the 20s, there were so many different variations of almost, not necessarily sideshow, but what's the vaudeville? Like, is vaudeville and burlesque kind of part of the same family, kind of?
It is.
Or cousins, I mean, if you will?
Yeah, because a lot of times if you went to a show that was like vaudeville, you would be seeing both. Mm-hmm. You would be seeing a burlesque artist, and you would be seeing, like, the hey, na-na-na-na. and that kind of continued, you know, then into the 50s. Then it became more of a specific thing. Like, you would have more shows that were just burlesque,
yeah,
because people just...
Sure.
Went crazy,
yeah,
for it.
Yeah.
And the 50s was really the golden heyday.
So
you know,
it used to be part of a variety, and then as people were like, holy shit, this is what I want to see, mm-hmm, it spun off to its own situation. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the basic history of it in a way.
Right.
And then it blew up from there, and it's its own thing, and we've held on to it.
And now there's kind of a second coming of burlesque, and it is in a lot of ways similar. There's a lot of people who do the very classic style, but in most ways it's very, very different.
Yeah.
Because the laws are so different, and the performance is so different.
What do you mean when you say laws? Like, so to the people at home who are...
Yeah, so
there's
a lot of interesting laws involving women's bodies in public spaces. So in New York, it's very liberal because here we are in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But so in New York, you have to have your nipples covered and your vagina covered.
So she pointed, just to the people at home, she pointed to her nipples and her vagina in case I didn't know where they're at. So I must look like a guy who's never sucked a nipple or seen a vagina close up except for birth. So continue.
Well, I just like touching my own boobs. I guess that's it. That's why I'm in this line of work.
On this show, that is welcome, that a lot of people do it, so you're in the right place. You're amongst friends.
I feel like you could feel the pointing, you there out there.
We're all feeling the pointing.
So, and that's because any place that sells liquor, you have to have those parts covered, unless you have a special license.
It's like Hooters, for example. Everyone knows Hooters. And I remember being a teenager going into Hooters thinking, why do they got to wear the underneath, the fart locker, the pantyhose, you know, trapping your farts? Why do you have to wear that? And it's because of the laws.
Yep.
So with burlesque, the law here in New York is, you have to have what now? Your nipples covered. So how much of the nipple? The whole nipple?
The whole nipple.
But everything else can be shown.
Yeah.
So as long as your full nipple is covered, you can sell alcohol.
Yes.
And you cannot show your vagina.
Yep.
And for those of you, and I know a lot of...
Well, vulva.
The old... So the lips... What? Tell me what the vulva is again. Remind everybody.
That's the outside bit.
The outside itty bitties. So for those of you that frequent gentlemen clubs... Gentlemen's clubs. If it's got alcohol, you know you're going to see some nipple, but you're not going to see any vagina. If it does not have alcohol, you're going to see the full Monty.
And that's in New York. There's one place that has full nudity, one strip club. They are not allowed to sell alcohol, but you can buy it from the bouncers. I have heard from a bouncer.
Really? When we get off the air, we have to talk about what that is. I'm looking for a good time.
But we're lucky in New York because it's pretty lax here. And a lot of times, you know, people rip their pasties off on stage, and you probably won't get in trouble.
Just for an expression. But it's more of, of the owner of the venue is like, yo, if the vice comes in here and sees that, we're
like,
fucked.
Come on, guys. Like, they can get fined thousands
of course,
dollars.
Of course,
yeah. So in Tennessee, though, it's funny because they are one of the quote-unquote blue law states, and you have to cover a lot more. You have to cover all of the underboob. So, like, no side boob, no underboob, basically no underboob cleavage happening. You have to cover the whole, like, vortex is what is what we call it. Like, you have to cover the ass crack all the way up to the front. So
what is that? How do you... okay, now I'm confused. An ass crack all the way up to the front.
You have to cover the under cheek of the ass and the ass crack.
Okay. So full grannies. You got to go full granny.
Well, you can show, like, partial cheek, and you can show, like, side of your ass area.
So my wife, sorry, wife, has a huge ass. You know, big reason why we got married. There's no way she's hiding it no matter what she puts on.
Yeah.
Are you in that predicament? Oh, no, you've lost all your ass, you said. The ass
there's
has
still
gone
some
away.
Ass left.
So Logan still has some ass left, everybody, in case you're wondering. Go to the show before it all goes away.
Before it's all gone.
So you're saying that you just have to make an effort to cover it in Tennessee, in this place.
Mm-hmm. And they are much more strict about the fines down there. So
they're looking to ding you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be – so, you know, for those of you at home, these are vocational obstacles that she has to take into account every time she works because Logan, we'll get to this, works all over the nation as a burlesque performer. I mean – she's very similar to me as a stand-up. Like, she's working a lot of nights out of the week, late nights, in clubs, being vulnerable, showing herself and performing, and to make ends meet. And there's probably not a lot of money in it, I'm assuming.
As much as there should be, let me tell you.
So it's one of those things, like just like stand-up, there's not a lot of money in stand-up until you can actually get mainstream and get some notoriety and go viral. Millennials, go viral. So, it's a hard
pretty
gig.
Much with burlesque, like, if you can pay back the cost of your costume, then you've done a great job.
Then you're killing it. This isn't a comedy. If you're pulling down 20 G's a year, you're fucking killing it, man. So, where did you go to college?
So, I went to college at the Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore.
So, really liberal.
Yeah, I mean, art school. So, like,
what was your major?
Illustration.
So, do you know how to, like, I'm looking at your website now. It's pretty thorough. Did you put that together yourself?
Yes, I did.
Because that's like your background, which really helps when you're promoting a brand, right? Knowing how to do all that shit.
Yep.
What I like about you is you're not Instagram obsessed. Like, you could easily probably have like 50,000, 60,000 followers because, like, there's a picture I'm looking at now that you guys can't see, but if you go to our website, it's an amazing photo. But photos like that, it's you. Let me see if I can turn around my my monitor.
Oh, yeah,
it's a
yeah,
great one. So it's of Logan. It's she's performing. It's just you know, they say a picture tells like what was a thousand words or whatever. Whatever the phrase is, just fucking go with it. Just go with it, right? She's like a corset on, and it's like a great view from the back, and it's like very sexy but also very classy. It's a great picture. Pictures like this, if the right the right feed picks it up. Those Instagram handles that basically exploit women's bodies and go, hey, everybody. And that we'll tag you, though, in it. If you just send us your shit and we'll tag you. And then all of our millions of men or whatever, 100,000 men, they will end up following you. It can be done, but you don't do that.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that?
Okay, first of all, I do not have the attention span to make Instagram a thing.
A job.
Like, I can barely be fucked to post more than once a day.
Do you post once a day?
I try to post once a day.
I'm going
to
look it up right now.
I try. Usually it's like once every 2 days.
So you're saying you don't have the capacity, attention span-wise, to actually post every day. It's hard for you to even do that. So for you to sit down and make an actual effort to attack Instagram where you're going to go, okay, so this is going to be the day I show ass and the day I don't. And this is the day I'm going to show my meal. Like, you know, that whole formula that people are using. You don't want to do that. It's annoying. Is it because, here's what I think. Here's my theory. Mm-hmm. I should be doing social media even more so than I do now. Because of my job. And I feel like you and I are in a similar place. We should be using social media to our advantage.
Right.
So I've been meeting with all these people. Like when I fly back to LA, I've talked about this, 2 weeks in a row now, everybody? Fuck you. So, and it's about making more rather than making really quality shit. So I've been trying to figure out a way I can do this and not want to kill myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm much more into the quality of something and the thought that goes into it. And that's not really where we're at when it comes to putting out certain things. So like Instagram, I'm trying to figure out ways to do content that could be quick but also doesn't have to totally be dog shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for you, when you're posting, is there a way for you to create something that's maybe not as frivolous as you just taking selfies all day? Is that the problem because you're more creative?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I just don't like to take selfies all day because I feel like an idiot when I'm doing it.
It's a weird thing, right? Like,
yeah,
how are people not more self-conscious? And it makes me worried about society that you're not, like, feeling awkward about talking to the phone.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, like, talking to the actual phone like a person. And then you're like, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm influencing. And now that's a new thing, too. Like, fuck you. Fuck your influencing. You're not doing shit. You're not creating a better space in the world. I'm very angry.
I have, like, serious props for anybody who can make it a career out of posting things on a social media. Like, if you can actually make mad money doing that and support your life, wow, amazing. Like, go you.
Yeah, obviously I'm not hating. My whole show focuses on people that can make a living off Instagram. But I'm always intrigued by people that I think this all ties back. These are the rivers that flow into one ocean, and this is the ocean, okay? I feel like burlesque, and this is why I was so intrigued to chase down Logan. I feel like burlesque is more like stand-up in the sense that no one is out there trying to enjoy the fruits of burlesque like they would in the overt nature of, like, this is a titty bar. You're going to go in there, you're going to pay for a lap dance, you're going to have a bachelor party, and in my opinion, burlesque has so much more to offer because the performance is so much more elaborate. And I get that people nowadays, they just want to skip over everything and get to the point, even more so now than ever. So people that, you know, especially in this day and age, like, just get to the point. Let's go to the bar where they're definitely going to, they might touch me. Let's go to that bar, right? Instead of celebrating burlesque, in the sense it's similar to comedy, is because stand-up, it's not a movie, it's not live music, it's somewhere you have to actually go, sit your punk ass down, and listen to, I almost threw my chair just now, I was getting so into it, and listen to what someone's doing and have to actually digest it, as opposed to, just give me the jokes, like just hand me over the meme so I can read it, and then I laugh, and then I move forward. And I feel like society is kind of going that way, where we have to do something to make it a little bit more balanced.
Yep.
Do you feel like we're missing out on balance right now?
Yeah, you know, I feel like live theater is really kind of struggling more and more. And part of it, I feel like, is people just don't know how to act in the theater anymore. And I'm not one of those, like, you know, stogies that's like, pay attention to me, I'm performing right now. Like, you know, whatever, I know you're here to have fun. But, you know, I go to the shows and, like, at least a quarter of the audience is filming the entire thing on their phone.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing with it's that? So like, are you watching that later? Are you showing your friends so that they believe that you went outside your house? Like, what's the purpose?
And I am so happy you brought this up. So I saw Todd Rundgren at City Winery and the other night, and it was all people. I'm 30 years younger than most of the audience, right? But even they act like millennials. People filming the whole thing with their phone. People screaming at him because here it's partly his fucking fault too, because he does this thing and I hate it. I hate when comics do this too, where he does like hypothetical and like he'll bullshit in the middle of his songs where he'll just kind of lose track of what he's doing and he'll propose like, oh, what if I'm walking down the street, and he makes it like as if he wants you to answer when in reality he doesn't want you to answer, but these people are all trying to top each other with being funny. And I feel like in a burlesque show, even though I haven't been yet, which I'm going to very soon and I'll talk about it on the air. People probably talk, film the show, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so filming the show is annoying in itself because it takes people out of the moment. So what else, when you're the live theater, what it's suffering from, what else do you see besides the people filming the whole show?
Yeah, well, that, I mean, that's my main gripe. But other thing, you know, other things that you see sometimes are like, you know, people who get really drunk and like get up on stage while performers are performing, which I've seen happen, you know, at least 5 times, which is just so unbelievable to me. Like, what kind of mindset do you have to be in to get on a stage during a show and add yourself to it?
It's called 2017. That's what it's called. Because this is, I'm so happy we're talking about this. I fucking love this shit. So I work my ass off to learn my craft, as did you, and you still do. You put in not only hours, but the thought and the training to be
the money
and the fucking cash to be hired to do that job. And the thing is, the pay is not necessarily the money. It's the fact that they go, hey, we have 5 slots and there are 400 burlesque performers. You get one of those 5 because we respect you. And, you know, take respect to the bank and see if they give you a loan on that. They won't. But as a performer, these are the little wins that you're like shaking people's hands for when you shouldn't be. So you put in, my point is this, you've put in the work. But we're in a day and age where people can go, well, you know what, how about I just post some things and one of them might go viral, and then next thing you know, I have a career. No training, no background, and that's what it is that is a we perpetuate that fucking bullshit, and that's where someone goes, I've had 6 drinks, I'm a burlesque performer. Because I get it, and it's happening, folks. You come see me out live, I'm going to shred you if you talk during my show. And that's a known fact. You people have come out to see me headline shows. The minute you think you're funny, as funny as me, you're not. I don't care who you are. You are not. Just like you're not a burlesque performer. You're not as good as Logan. I'll put dollars to donuts. You won't even come close to what she does. So fuck you. So people actually get up on stage with you?
It hasn't happened to me, thank God.
But you've seen it.
Yeah, it's happened to me when I've been go-go dancing, but that's, you know, like, not quite as bad. I mean,
well, go-go dancing,
bad.
You're part of the party. So you want to dance
I mean,
with
I'm
you.
I mean, I'm still on the stage.
You're still on the pedestal. Yeah. No one respects the pedestal anymore. They don't respect the microphone or the pedestal. They don't.
But it's funny that you talk about, like, thrashing people who talk, you know, during your act. Because, you know, most of the shows do have a host, and the host is in between the acts, and they're introducing people. Because we don't really talk during the show.
I would hope, like, not. You get a lot of things on your mind.
Yeah. We have other things to worry about. But they will. Like, they will shame you. Which I love.
That's great.
Like, the burlesque hosts, for the most part, are really good at shaming.
Sure. Because they have. It's like going into a place where you're looking to be humiliated by a really strong, powerful, feminine presence.
Yeah.
I've never seen a man host those shows. It's always like a broad-chested woman, like a big, busty, middle-aged woman with a wig.
Yep.
And
there's a lot of really great female MCs.
Yeah.
There are some male MCs that are pretty great, too. But, you know, I like the women.
Yeah, of course you do. She hates men. That's why she came on my show to tell me she hates me and my kind.
Hashtag not all men. Come on. They're fragile. You'll hurt their feelings.
So, all right. When you start doing nudity, Hold on. I'm fucking something up. I just did something I shouldn't have done. So you don't do complete nudity. But you do enough of it to where when you're starting out, you must have to make a decision like, okay, is this something I'm comfortable with? Have you always been a pretty free spirit, like in college? And then you see this burlesque show and you're thinking, did you have a dance background before I continue? Were you someone that knew how to dance?
Not really. I mean, I was really shy in high school. I was a super, I was like super nerd,
yeah,
you know, anime girl.
Okay.
So I had like no self-confidence whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
But both my parents were in theater, so they always tried to encourage me to do that kind of thing.
To break out of your shell.
No, Mom, no, Dad. But I'm really glad that they did, because they definitely helped
me
pave
the way.
You seem
pretty normal. Not that you, I wasn't expecting you not to be, but you seem like pretty regular in the sense that, you know, I really like this way, you know, I do this. I'm sure there's some deep, dark bullshit in you, but we'll figure that out eventually. So when you were deciding you're going to do burlesque, and you knew, like, I'm going to have to be in some pretty scantily clad situations, did you already go, but you're shy, are you already like, well, I have the body for it? Like, what are you saying to yourself? Like, what do you know about you in that moment when you go, I can do this?
Well, see, going back to that first burlesque show I ever saw, so that was me, you know, freshman in college, like, still that really shy person who, like, has been told, like, oh, you're pretty, like, what, but I'm like, fuck you, I don't know you, no, I'm not.
Really?
So, you know, I loved that look, I loved that glamour, I loved that performance, you know, I loved Rocky Horror Picture Show, that was one of my favorite movies, and I was like, wow, so these girls that I'm watching look like me, and, like, they don't have anything, spectacular, like, glamour model quality.
Well, what did you consider
glamour?
Like, what were you, like, when you were, because we all do comparisons. It's not a good thing to do, but we do it. When you were thinking, I'm not like those, I'm not glamorous like those people, like the people you put on your pedestal thinking I'm not as good or I'm not on that level, who were those people that you brought to mind? Like, what kind of models or whoever it was, if there's someone in particular?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I loved fashion, and I loved America's Next Top Model and stuff like that. So.
Those are like genetic lottery winners, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's also, I mean, it's a fun show if you if you are pretty well sound in your head. But if you're like in high school or watching that show and you want to be creative and you want to be in fashion and you want to be a performer and you're like, well, shit, like, I'm not that pretty. Like, I can't do anything, really.
It's unbelievable, and it's not even always... Don't get me wrong, a lot of those people are very good looking in person. But a lot of times it comes down to being photogenic, right? I've met some people who are extremely, like in pictures and movies, you're like, holy shit, that is a dime. You are a dime. And I've met them and been like, oh, you're pretty average looking. It's just the fact that, you know how to not only do it upright, but you have this bone structure and this facial symmetry that it can be. Put some makeup on it, put whatever on it, next thing you know, you fucking look unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, half of it is just learning how to be in your body.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
And that's what I had to do. Uh-huh. Like, that's what really turned it around, was, like, seeing the show and learning, and, like, seeing, you know, the embracing your body and just doing what works for you and, like, getting into your strengths. And that's what really turned it around. I mean, like, I really credit a lot of my positive mental state to that.
What, do you, how do I word this? When it comes to dancing, are you a good dancer in regular life? I feel like if we were to go to a club, it might not be. But then again,
I'm a pretty good dancer.
But so you were always a good dancer.
Yeah.
You always knew you had rhythm. Even
I was just too shy to dance.
You were too shy to dance, but you knew you could dance.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not like someone that had to go teach yourself a routine. And if you have to stay in the routine, then you're all right. But if you have to go outside of it, you're not. I once went out with this girl who was a professional dancer, like booked background dancing gigs for a lot of huge acts. And I remember we went to a bar and we just were randomly dancing. And I could tell she couldn't really dance on her own, like just for fun. Everything was like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Like everything had a choreographed setting to it. I remember thinking like, fuck, you're perfect. You make money. It's how you, this is your W-2. You put down dancer. We're at a bar. And Michael Jackson comes on. You can't dance with me the right way. I have to fucking watch you do.
Pop and lock it all the way.
Two-step bounce or whatever that fucking R. Kelly dance was. The happy dance or whatever from the happy song. So you knew how to dance.
Yeah.
You did.
I mean, I always loved dancing. And just kind of making it up. Like, choreographed dancing was never really my jam. Honestly.
Sure.
Like, even my routines, they have certain choreography in them, but they're pretty loose.
So, okay, just to summarize before I move forward. You were this shy, nerdy girl. You go to this liberal arts slash art college. Your freshman year, you see some burlesque. You know you have a body. You're like, well, I look at myself in the mirror enough to know, even though I don't want to show it off, I do have what they have up there. I do meet the criteria.
The parts are there.
And you go, and I dance alone in my room. This sounds like every guy that tells me he wants to do stand-up, by the way.
Well, you know, my friends say I'm really funny, and I have the wit.
So you go, fuck it, let's do this. And then how long from the point of seeing the burlesque show to your first show is it? How long?
Well, the show that they did at my college, it was called the Gal House Review.
Shout out.
And it was once a year. So once a year in the second semester of spring, they would have a show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my sophomore year I joined, I did my first show, I sang in it, which was fun.
Wow. So you sing too?
Yeah.
So you're a shy girl that didn't do any of those things.
And then I did all the things.
And then you did all the things. So a year later, you were...
I was so nervous.
So a year later, you did the burlesque show, and you sang in the show.
Mm-hmm.
When you were getting ready to do the burlesque show, how long were you prepping, and what was the prep if you've never done it before? Did you just sync up with those other girls and go, hey, what do you guys do? And then that's how you kind of pick the pieces up from there, or how do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it. Like, all summer.
Yeah, right? Nonstop.
Going back into it. I was like, what am I going to do? And the reason I sang was because I was like, oh, well, you know, everyone has to have their thing. You know, in Gypsy, you got to have a gimmick.
No, I don't, so, but I'm glad you did that.
You've never seen Gypsy? All right.
You'll have to school me on the musical theater ways.
And the burlesque and ways.
I'm ready. I'm here. I'm ready. I have ideas, so yes.
So, yeah, I was thinking about it the whole time, and I had all these ideas of what you had to have for a burlesque show. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have the garter, you have to have the boa.
Yeah.
So I had all those things. You know, I had the vintage dress, I had the curls.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it went well. Like, it was well received. It was really unoriginal, but it was really cute. And
you're not supposed to be the best ever the first time, so you're okay.
No.
But it goes over well. What do you wear?
For my first time? My first time, I just had, like, some red satin undergarments, like a red lace bra. I didn't put any rhinestones on anything.
Okay.
It was real simple. I had, like, a black and white dress that I actually use in an act now.
Okay. So you start out in clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you peel those clothes off.
Basically, that's
what it is. Yeah, and then there's a bra with the pasties and the whole thing. That's, like... Mm-hmm. That's kind of how you temper the act, right? You know, this is the first part of it. It's the three-act build, if you will.
And it is very loose. You know, some people do the reverse strip. They come out naked and they put clothes on.
That's cool.
And then leave that way.
I like that.
Some people don't really have any costume pieces. They just have, like, fans mm-hmm. or, like, a piece of fabric or something.
Yeah.
It's really... You pretty much just do whatever the hell you want.
Really, there's certain guidelines, but for the most part, it's
Yeah, I mean, there's guidelines for, like, what bits to keep covered and, you know, don't make it 10 minutes long because we'll all fall asleep.
Sure.
But
what's the standard length?
Usually between 3 and 5 minutes.
So your first time, you're not flipping out about showing your body?
I mean, I was flipping out about it.
How much did you show?
I went the whole way. I mean, I went to pasties
and thong.
Well, I didn't have a thong. I had garters and, like, a, you know, big hipster brief. Or
hey, what's hipster brief? Like half your ass hanging out?
Yeah. Like, there's some cheek happening.
Some little cheekies?
Sure. Yeah. Some little lacy something.
Some little lacy cheekies for your friends. I like doing that voice.
But that's why it was funny. It's because the whole audience is basically, like, my friends. You know, it's all the people at the college.
And they've already seen you naked because you've been sleeping with everybody.
And, you know, it's art school, so everyone's naked all the
sure.
time.
Sure. I should have went to an art school instead of playing football in college. I probably got laid so much more. It's not all about sex, but fuck, it would have been nice. Sorry.
When we go to class and see people naked.
Oh, yeah, because you draw nudity, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm all for it.
Art school's the best.
Well, I mean, whatever, your school, wherever the fuck you went, is the best. I'm actually looking at a post that happened a week ago from Logan Laveau, and you guys can go check this out on her Instagram. She's at Logan Laveau, LAVEAU. And I think I see Nip, but IG is not taking it down. So, win, win, win for you. This one.
And that's a wig?
Or yeah, that's your actual hair? Oh, no, that's a wig. That's
you look great wig. In wigs.
Thank you.
You're not wearing one today. No.
This is my real hair.
Your hair is actually that long.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It just doesn't curl at all.
So you have to wear wigs. I know it's a lot of your pictures you have wigs. That's part of the costume. You must spend a bundle a year. A small fortune.
I have probably like 20 wigs.
Your apartment must look crazy, especially in New York where you're like,
yeah.
I'm sure you have roommates, right? So literally, it's like all in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Everything you own is in your bedroom for the most part.
Yeah. And I got lucky because my roommates are very nice and considerate, and they took the small rooms. And actually, my room is about the size of this living room.
Wow,
well,
huge.
A little bit thinner, maybe like here.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's stuffed.
With just wigs and fucking...
Yep, sewing machines, drawers and drawers of rhinestones and boas and furs.
Titty pasties swinging everywhere from the rafters.
Actually, I have a giant cow skull on my wall, and right now he's holding on to all my feathery headpieces.
Oh, what? What do you have?
A giant cow skull. His name is Salvador.
It's crazy that you have that because you're like from Vermont. You're probably like a hippie, right? Are you kind of a hippie?
Well, yeah.
When you're grooming yourself, this is interesting because I'm always obsessed with grooming myself. I have a lot of OCD problems. So when you're grooming yourself and you know you're going to have to be on stage, what's protocol for you in that? Like, what is the... Do you want to go, I'm going to shock them. I'm going full bush today. Full hair thong for these people. Let them know I'm a woman. Hear me roar. Or do you like, you know, let's keep it tidy.
Yeah,
that's your move.
That's usually the latter. Because I spend all this time making my rhinestones look nice on my thongs, and I don't want people to like get my hair. Like, that's not the point. The focal point.
See, that's called being efficient. Little details, folks. Little details.
People are very distracted.
That's a great little detail. And how long have you been doing burlesque?
Well, I don't really count the first few years in college because I had a different stage name and it was very, you know, amateur hour.
Yeah.
So in New York, about 3 years.
How long did it take you to get really good? And get started getting booked, you know, like being a part of the community.
It's difficult to get a shoe in sometimes. I mean, it's great because New York does have the New York School of Burlesque, run by Joe Boobs Weldon, who is amazing.
Great name, Joe.
Yeah, and they offer classes, and you can take a class on, like, intros to burlesque and act development and things like that, where you have really seasoned performers who've been doing it for decades or more, who are helping you on your showmanship and, you know, finding out what works for you and tweaking things and costume ideas and things like that. So that was a great resource to start.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a monthly show where you can just apply to be in it as a student, and you don't get paid, but you get some stage time, mm-hmm. and it's at the Slipper Room, which is one of the most famous burlesque venues, I would say, in America.
Really? Where is the Slipper Room?
It's on Orchard Street and Stanton. Mm-hmm. In the Lower East Side.
And they do shows how many times a week? And do you perform there a lot?
Fairly often, mm-hmm. maybe like once or twice a month. They do it like Wednesday through Saturday.
What's your rotation? How many shows are you doing a week on average?
It's always different, you know, the freelance
life. Yeah, of course.
But usually between 2 and 3.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a pretty stable rotation of performances.
Yeah. And well, I'm not always performing in the shows. Like sometimes that's go-go, or sometimes it's stage kittening for a weekly show.
What is a stage kitten? I think I need one of those as a comic.
Oh, yeah, I forget that people don't know that term. So that's basically the person who looks cute and picks up after the strippers.
Ah! So you put on, like, a hot outfit and you pick up clothes.
Uh-huh.
That's a,
and then it's like a whole other role.
That's phenomenal. How hot of an outfit do you have to wear to be a stage kitten?
I mean, you gotta look cute.
So what do you wear? Spill the beans, Logan. Jesus Christ.
I got so many costumes. I have
last
drawers
time you
and drawers
what you wear?
Of things. Well, last night was the last time.
Okay.
And I wore a leopard print onesie that I bought at ABC Superstores off of Ditmars.
So it goes from ankle up to the... It straps the top.
Oh, no. Like a one-piece bathing suit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With heels.
Yep. Heels, fishnets. I had a big fake ponytail. Big glittery gold necklace.
Awesome. I love that. I love the visual.
Oh yeah, it was very kid. Like it was very like 1970s shot girl. I don't know.
What
they had in the equivalent of the 70s
cigarette girl type of situation. So what do you think?
What's the transition, though? I get that people don't usually probably get into burlesque thinking this is ultimately going to lead to all my hopes and dreams. You have a background in singing, obviously, or you wouldn't sing in public if you didn't like your voice. Obviously, you're a performer. Where do people usually take burlesque? What's the next step, if there is a next step?
Well, you know, I mean, the people who have been doing it for years and years and years around New York, a lot of them have been performing in the same places, doing a lot of the same shows for years and years. But also, you know, you can take it anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, you can take your ex anywhere for the most part. I'm actually performing in Paris next month.
Awesome.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so more touring, things like that. But also, I'm a costume designer, and I sew. So getting involved in the burlesque industry has helped a lot with that.
Of course, because people are like, oh, you're a seamstress? Can you make this for me? That's great.
Yeah, you know, other burlesque performers who don't necessarily sew or they don't have time to make things, and I know how things are supposed to work already.
So you basically, as a burlesque performer, which is the only thing that's different for stand-up is guys are hoping to get on TV to make a bigger income and more visibility. That's not necessarily an option for you. There's no burlesque channel. Like, there's Comedy Central, there's no Burlesque Central.
Right, yeah. It is pretty niche. Still.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where it's supplemental at best to your income.
Right.
Because you're not going to find a $50,000 a year situation, $100,000, unless you have, like you said, a really big following and you can tour a lot.
Right. I mean, there are theater opportunities. You know, there are places around the U.S. that do weekly shows. I mean, Vegas is the big one. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a lot of weekly standard, like huge production burlesque shows. There's also, you know, in Atlantic City, there's the Borgata. They hire a lot of women that I perform with to do a weekly burlesque show.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because it's evolving so quickly, so it's hard to say what it's going to be like in 10 years.
Sure.
Because it's already so different than what it was 10 years ago, you know. So it's really hard to say, like, where it could go from here.
Where do you want to, like, big picture for you, perfect scenario, where would you like it to go for you? Would it lead to, like, a seamstress job somewhere, a costume designer? I mean, do you even have that in your mind, or it's just like I'm doing it and I enjoy doing it, and that's that?
Yeah, you know, I've had so many ideas of what the future's going to be that haven't really panned out already, so I kind of don't think that far ahead.
When you make your goals, though, I'm assuming you do as a performer because you have to stay somewhat efficient. Your goals just stem to the present? Like, hey, I want to do 3 shows a week, and I want to make sure I'm having a new part of my act every other month, or whatever it might be. It stays pretty local. It doesn't necessarily go, I need to know that I can be this, or build a sitcom or a reality show around. Like, you're not trying to necessarily do all that.
Right. It would be enough to build up enough of a brand, to be able to move wherever I wanted, if I wanted to move, and still be able to do what I want to do and, you know, pick up and leave and just self-produce whatever I feel like doing.
So basically have no commitment whatsoever to anything. That's your goal. To never, ever have to stay in one place if you don't have to.
Well, there's a lot of places around the world that I want to live. There's a lot of cool places.
How long have you been in New York? 3 years?
Since 2013.
Okay, so 4 years. And you've been doing it here for 3 years. So for the first year, you were kind of getting your feet on the ground.
Yeah, I didn't really know what I was doing the first year.
It sounds like you don't know what you're doing a lot of the time.
Now I have purposeful not knowing what I'm
doing.
Yeah,
now it's all deliberate. Before it was just fucking floating in the wind.
Yeah. Just smoking weed and watching Netflix.
I love smoking weed, by the way, everybody.
Hey, me too.
I enjoy it. And I've been vaping lately, and it's been a great balance for me because I can drink a lot. And I was like, dude, we got to figure out a way to not drink so much. And the weed is helping. I just want to let you guys know, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, I'm currently not drinking, and that is only possible because of weed.
It's hard to not drink. I enjoy drinking.
Especially when you're working bars.
Yeah, it's really hard. I don't know what your reasoning is. I'm not going to get into it yet because we're almost having to finish up, and if you start talking about your addiction problems, we'll be here all day, and I love it because I'll talk about it all day. But yes, weed helps.
Yes.
Weed helps.
Thank you, weed.
Are you a twerker? Do you know how to twerk?
I'm like half twerk able.
What's the other half?
More booty.
What does that mean? That's great. What is a more booty? I'm totally interested. You had me at more booty.
I mean, you can get the muscle movements right, uh-huh. And then, you know, depending on what you got, it's only going to jiggle a certain way.
Sure. I would love to know the science behind that. That's my next move.
You know what someone finally said that to make it make sense to do it? Mm-hmm. Is you can't move your bones. You have to move your muscles around your bones.
Okay. That's so fucking interesting to me.
That's specifically for the booty clap.
So the booty clap is what... Yeah. I am a purist. I am a booty clap guy. I enjoy the booty clap. I actually have a whole joke about it, too, that is played a lot that people always write me about. That's serious, always plays. About the booty clap and how much I love it and why I love it. The twerking part confuses me because it's the booty clap, but not. What's the difference again?
Well, twerking is more up and down, and booty clap is more like round in and out, you know?
And then booty clap is you're standing up and you turn your feet in, and then you can utilize your thighs to make the cheeks
clap
per se. And twerking is it's a like a lowrider hopping in a way.
I would say, yeah.
And a lot of people twerk by going up against the wall, right? That was like the thing for a while. But not in burlesque. You guys are fucking pros. You don't need to go and utilize the wall. Utilize the wall. You can just do it.
I mean, I'd be lying if I never saw that happen.
You've never saw someone utilize the wall for the twerk.
No, that happened. No, I mean, people do literally everything.
Really?
Like, I mean, just depending on the music, the performer, their dance.
I gotta come to a show.
Yeah.
I gotta come to a show, but I am a diva, and I want to know. I want to know performers. So you need to be. My entry to the show. I need to say, I know Logan. I am a friend of one Logan Burrell. We go way back.
Here I am. Way back. It's been like an hour.
We are such good friends. Plug your shit. Where can people find you?
All right. Well, I will be in Dallas, Texas on March 24th, which I believe is a Friday, for the Dallas Burlesque Festival at the House of Blues. So if you're in Texas... Hello.
Go see
I'm also going to be starting a monthly show at the Royal Palms Shuffleboard Club in Brooklyn. And that will be the last Friday of every month, so it's on the 31st of this month. And that's with a few other fellow performers, Kita Sincere and Jeannie Adagio. And it's very cute.
Yes, it's very cute. So you have a Twitter. What is it? IG, what is it? Go.
I don't have a Twitter. Again, no attention span. I do have an Instagram. It's at Logan Laveau, and Laveau is LAVEAU.
And can people buy tickets to these performances via your website or no?
Not via my website. I do have a calendar on my website. Cool. So
that's LoganLaveau.com.
Yes, LoganLaveau.com. And you can just look on the calendar and use Google.
Yeah, figure it out. Use Google. Go see her. She's amazing. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. Hashtag best. They ain't ready for me. All right, there she is, Logan Laveau. Logan, if you're listening, my dear, thank you so much for coming on the show and doing a great job. Fantastic, fantastic job. I want to thank you again. And everyone go follow Logan on her Instagram, Logan Laveau. You will not be disappointed. There is a lot of beautiful cake to look at, as well as cool shit. She's, you know, burlesque, man. I really want to go see. I still have not seen burlesque. And after hearing these sound problems, I doubt Logan will want me to see her burlesque anyways. But I'm going to go. I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, everybody. Thanks for listening to this show. Contrary to me shitting on it all the time, it's actually doing quite well. Broken Tail Dog is now featured on SoundCloud as well as iTunes and Podomatic. Also, the show Generation Gap that I host with Marine Van Zant is out there on SoundCloud for a light launch we have going on. Big things popping out with that. And also the sketch comedy series Joking Off. We're going to be releasing a lot more sketches. We just shot one called Joshapalooza. Really exciting. It should be coming out very soon. And also the mini movies, Social Shorts, that's in the works as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on. You can email the show, brokentailed@gmail.com. And you can follow the show, at brokentailed, on Instagram and also Twitter. You can follow me, at Josh Ricardo. I'm sure you know that already. And you can always go to my website to find all the most updated information. I thank you guys for listening. I'm hoping you're having a great, great week. I took some time and collected myself from the intro, and I feel a lot better. My new mic in front of me is great. It sounds great, and the fucking trains are still going, man. Holy shit. All right, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. Thank you so much. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. So bad, look out.